College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to have you with us here on a Friday afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is off today along with Zach Jones here in our Amherst studios. We are happy to welcome on time to the show, as always, our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline live from Tampa, where the Bills will play the Bucks tomorrow in the preseason finale kickoff a little after 7:30 or so. Sal, good afternoon. I'm sorry about the Yankees. Sorry, not sorry. I'm back on the Red Sox bandwagon. I went to a game again, so I have a new hat and everything. I'm ready to go.
You had to start with that, didn't you? I thought that might happen. I wasn't really totally sure.
I mean, I'm back. I'm back, baby. Yeah. I'm back.
Yanks are still a half game up on the Sox, and there are three more to play here. I did tell you yesterday I was a little worried because of them getting back so late after that Tampa trip, you know?
Yeah, no question. But I've got scoreboard for today. I don't know. I won't talk to you for a few weeks now, or at least a couple of weeks. I'm gone until after Labor Day, after today. So I got to get it in now while I can. We'll see if we can, maybe win this series and get back in second place behind the Blue Jays there. Do you think the Jays have what it takes to win the division?
I do think they have what it takes to win the division, but I still think that they are a team that's playing a little above their heads right now, or have played above their heads. I mean, they were so good for so long. But I think it also might be because right now the Yankees and Red Sox both don't have what maybe we thought either of them had at this point. Yeah, but the Jays are a good team, and they can, especially offensively, they can really hit. And now their pitching's coming around too lately, but we'll see. I mean, they've had a little bit of struggle lately, so you know, we'll see where it goes. By the way, Bulldog, my hotel room, I got to tell you, I'm looking out. You've been to Tampa, I assume, right? Have you ever been to Amalie Arena where the Lightning play?
I have not. And I've not really been, I mean, not for many years. I was in Tampa as a kid, I think. But my wife and I went, we were in Hudson, Florida, maybe, which is, I don't know, an hour or so from Tampa, I think, up the coast. So I have not spent time in Tampa. So no, I've never been to the hockey rink.
Okay, well, I am literally looking from my room out into the plaza. It is I have to be 50 yards away from the arena itself. It's crazy. It's kind of like Harbor Center, right? That kind of thing. It's a deal right there where it's right there. It's a really good setup, by the way. And we came here 2 out of the last 3 years. I've been to MLA to watch the Sabres play the Lightning because it just so happened it was during break that we could line that up with a trip down here. And I just love the way they kind of lay this out. And there's so much going on. There's something going on in the arena tonight. I'm not sure what it is. There's people in the plaza. They're not wearing Lightning jerseys, so I know there's no Lightning game tonight.
I think you're probably on the money on that. So, Sal, what do we don't know any more than we knew yesterday at this time. I heard your conversation with Mike yesterday, and I heard you talking to Sneaky Joe this morning about it. We're going to probably be waiting until after the game tomorrow to hear anything about the severity of Tre'Davious White's injury. Is that right?
Probably. I think there's a chance you hear something tomorrow before the game. I think there's a chance that, you know, you could hear something on the broadcast for sure, whether that's radio or television. Might get some clues on whether or not he's actually at the game or not. And that could clue you in. So I wouldn't be stunned. I was trying to remember. He got the final on Max Harrison when all that went down, because there was a real good day and a half maybe of not knowing. And then it was probably about 48 hours, maybe a little bit less. So I wouldn't be surprised that that's the case. So I think you could find out tomorrow, but you're right. After the game would be, I think at the very latest, I would say, when Sean McDermott speaks after the game.
It does really bring into focus just how quick it gets thin, right? I mean, we know Harrison's out. At least, the start of the season is in doubt for him at this point. I might guess that he ends up on IR to start the year, but we'll see. We don't know that at this point. But boy, after White, we're into Dane Jackson, and I got a guy calling me last segment saying, just play one of the kids, Daquan Hardy or somebody, and I'm like, holy cow. I heard your conversation with Joe this morning about Dane Jackson, and pretty interesting how you laid out what could be a starting job or not on the team, maybe depending on how seriously or not Tre'Davious White is hurt.
That's right. To me, it's like all or nothing with Dane Jackson. I think if everybody's healthy, I'm doing my 53-man roster. I don't have Dane Jackson on the team. I think he actually is kind of a perfect practice squad veteran at cornerback, right? Where a guy that you just have him on the practice squad, and when you need him, you can call him up. If something happens to a guy on a Sunday and you got a Thursday game, something happens during the week on a Wednesday, and you're like, hey, we gotta have somebody who can plug and play. He knows the system. You bring him up, and you get by through the game. I think he's perfect for that. I don't think that he's a guy that has shown me enough that he warrants necessarily a 53-man roster spot or to be a starter. That said, with Tre'Davious White, if he is out for any length of time, knowing that Max Harrison is most likely out for a little while, I don't think you have another option to start outside other than Jamarcus Ingram. But Jamarcus Ingram does a lot of things for this team. He is an outside corner. He's a nickel corner. He's a dime safety. You allow him to be able to use all of those roles because Dane just doesn't have all those roles. Jamarcus is also special teams, big time on special teams. So to me, that's where you would get to. Dane Jackson would then be the starter on the outside. You let Jamarcus play all his other roles. So I think it's kind of it's an all or nothing proposition here if you're looking at that. The guy that is really interesting here for me is Dorian Strong. Now, the Bills, and I say that not as a starter, but that could impact the numbers, because if the Bills feel that they can sneak by Dorian Strong and get him through waivers into the practice squad, then maybe you do get Dane Jackson on the 53-man roster. But I don't know if they feel that. That's going to be tough. You don't want to see a six-round pick get claimed by another team. You could waive him and still get him back. I mean, you know, a lot of times that happens, but the Bills lost Alex Austin a couple of years ago to the Patriots when they did that. They've lost other players when they've done that. They've also waived. I mean, hey, Dane Jackson's a great example. He actually got cut his first year in Buffalo, and he got put on the practice squad. So I just don't know where that fits in and how they want to do that.
Yeah. How likely do you think it is that they look outside? Again, depending. We don't know how seriously White is hurt, but, you know, the top end of the list is Rasul Douglas and Stephon Gilmore. As far as guys that are available right now, Tuesday could bring an opportunity for them to view someone that gets released. Maybe they could even preemptively trade for someone that's going to get released by a team. That doesn't have to mean that the player is, you know, if it's a veteran, can't play. Maybe he's just getting squeezed out by a younger, cheaper guy. I would think the Bills are going to be turning over every stone ahead of Tuesday's cutdown day.
No doubt about that. We've seen several trades around the league already, specifically wide receivers, a couple defensive tackles. Harrison Phillips, you know, gets traded from the Vikings to the Jets, right? That's what teams are doing right now. They're looking, and, you know, Brandon Bean historically has, you know, had some trades, not maybe every year, but he seems to have a deal or two at the end of the third game and into Tuesday, and that's this weekend. So I'm sure it's already something that's on the table looking around. Now you add into this, if there's an injury, I do think that's something you look at. But if you want to go the free agent route, sure. I mean, I think Rasul Douglas, to me, would be the first guy that you would think of. The question is, how much does Rasul Douglas want to play football, and can you fit him under the cap? Because if he's like, yeah, I'm playing for $3, $4 million, I don't think you do that, right? You're looking for probably a vet minimum type of deal with somebody. One of the things that you have to keep in mind too, Bulldog, and people might not know this, but if you're a vested veteran and you've been in the league 4 years, if you're on the week one roster, your base salary is guaranteed for the season, right? So a lot of times guys, even if they want somebody, they don't want to do it until after week one, teams, right? Because you don't want to guarantee that base salary in the case you move on. But in this case, you might have to do that. So what do you do in this situation? Do you go and get a guy that, you know, if he's going to cost a little more? And I don't know, you know, what they feel. Why has Rasul Douglas not been on a team? Is it because he's asking for more money than people want to give? Or is it simply that people, you know, teams just don't think he's quite the same player? Because let's be honest, he truly kind of wasn't last year, versus what he was the first half year in Buffalo.
I definitely agree with that. That I mean, that's a name and it's familiarity, and maybe you'd feel better about that than Dane Jackson. But Yeah, I felt like last year, you know, I wasn't eager for them to bring Douglas back. And I got to tell you, I don't know that I'd be eager to do it now, even in a pinch. I would understand if they landed there. But, yeah, I felt like last year he was a weak link out there for them.
Yeah, I think that, you know what, weak link is interesting, right? It seems like, yeah, he wasn't a guy making plays. Maybe it's because I think what happened was he was so good in those, what, eight games he played for the Bills the year before.
Yeah.
And he made big plays and he intercepted the ball and he was just so good on the football that I think the expectations were a little maybe out of whack and out of line for him last year. But he also didn't have a great year. But I think that coincided with us going, well, where's these plays that you were making the year before, right?
Yeah.
So I do think that that's something. And you know, he is a little bit older. So it is. And Stephon Gilmore is even older than him, I believe. So is he a guy out there that you would look at as well? Maybe. I think first and foremost, we have to see where is Tre'Davious White. Now, is it something really long term? Then they're going to have to probably add some numbers. Is it something that, he'll be fine in a few days? Then you're probably not looking at that. Is it something where, well, he's okay, but it might bleed into the regular season? Then I think that's where you're in a quandary.
Yeah, might have to really massage that moving in. All right, well, we'll know more when we know more. Like you're saying, maybe during pregame or on the broadcast. If not, certainly the finish line would be McDermott talking postgame after this game with the Bucks. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline here with me in Buffalo. Sal's in Tampa. Bills and Bucks tomorrow at 7:30. Pregame show gets rolling around 2. The hottest take I've got today, Sal, involves Curtis Samuel. I think I would like to see him play. I don't know. I missed yesterday, so I don't know if he was addressed specifically as far as playing time for this game tomorrow. But if he can play, I would like to see him play, I don't know, 20 to 30 snaps. I don't care about production. I don't care who's throwing him the ball. I just want him to prove to them that he can get on the field and get through a game and be healthy. Because I feel like that's the biggest question with him. I think if he's healthy and participating in all these practices, I don't think there's any question about his roster spot. But I'm worried about him having another injury-riddled season. So I'd like to see him play just to show that he can get through a game and get through it healthy. If he gets hurt, I mean, well, the book writes itself. What do you think they should do with Samuel tomorrow?
I agree 100% with you, and I think the organization feels the same, which is we want to see him be able to be healthy, get through some games. And the reason I say that is I'll just echo what Sean McDermott said this week, that he wanted to see him get through some practices, and he did, and he looked good, and he felt that he was on the right track and looking good. But I don't think that guarantees that he's just going to, you know, back it off maybe tomorrow and not play him. I would like to see him play tomorrow. I would like the same thing. So we're on the same page here. I still think that Curtis Samuel, if they feel he's healthy, is on this football team. Even though he hasn't been out there a lot, shown a ton because of it, I think if Curtis Samuel is healthy, they probably are going to keep him on the football team. There are financial ramifications. Now, you actually would save $500,000 if you move off him, but you'd have a $7 million+ dead cap hit, meaning he's counting that money whether he's on the roster or not, right? So a lot of times you just don't want to say, well, he's not on the roster and we're going to pay that money and we're going to count that money. But you're counting that money either way. I think that that would be the plan for him. I also think that, you know, it's if you look down the roster, sure, we can all love Tyrell Shavers and what he's put together here, right? But I think that the way the Bills roster looks right now, I think Curtis Samuel still fits into that top five, to be quite honest with you. And I think Tyrell Shavers is right there. And I think Elijah Moore still fits in. To me, the top five are still the top five they've kind of always been, which is Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Josh Palmer. And then I think it's Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel, or whatever order you want to say. And I think Tyrell Shavers is still right there, even Laviska Shenault, as that extra guy that you're debating keeping. It's not, to me, should we keep Tyrell Shavers over Curtis Samuel. It's simply Curtis Samuel against himself. And that's what you're saying, right, too? I agree.
Yeah,
it's,
basically.
This guy's fighting himself for a roster spot. He's not fighting Tyrell Shavers, because if he's healthy, I think he's clearly on the team.
Yeah, I don't have any question about that. I wonder, I don't know, it's been a while since we've talked like this. I mean, could they play him a lot tomorrow and see him prove that he's healthy and then maybe find a trade partner. You know, like I send whether it's some kind of pick swap or something. And really, it's not about the return. It's about, because that alleviates the dead money, I believe, right? If you can trade him, I think you get almost the full savings there. That could be a scenario. But again, like that's, if he's healthy, maybe you want to keep him and have him for yourself. But I don't know. I wouldn't rule out a team getting their interest piqued if he plays in this game and, you know, looks decent.
I wouldn't either. You know, I think that you'd have to have that happen first and foremost, of course. Do you remember when they traded Sammy Watkins? That's what happened. They literally threw the ball to Sammy Watkins like three of the first four plays, and you're like, oh, okay, this is great. And then they traded him the next day. And like, well, the team who they traded him to, the Rams wanted to make sure he was healthy. He's out there and he's playing. And sure enough, he was, and they made the deal. So I could see something like that. I think, though, in this case, a little bit older of a wide receiver, obviously, than that case. He's making pretty good salary. So I still think it's tough, though. Yes, I think you'd have to show that. But I think it would still be a tough deal for another team to say, you know what, we'll go out and we'll make that deal, because that team's still got to make – they have to trust that he would stay healthy even if they see he's healthy.
Right.
Right? So I don't know if you would want to do that. And, I think at the end of the day, the Bills still would love to have Curtis Samuel for the role they envisioned him for. There may be frustration from all sides about him not being on the field and his availability, and I get that, and that's real. But I do think that, you know, Joe Brady wanted Curtis Samuel on this team for a reason, and the Bills have Curtis Samuel on this team for a reason. And if he's healthy, I still think that they have a clear vision for him and his role in this offense.
Sal, what else is up for grabs tomorrow, if anything? Like who needs a good day tomorrow to solidify a spot? I mean, depth linebackers. I liked how Jimmy Charlo was featured in Hard Knocks. Am I saying his name correctly? I hope I am. Is he live to make the roster as a special teams depth linebacker, you think?
I don't think so. I think he's live for a practice squad spot, though.
Okay.
And that matters to a lot of these guys, right? Like, hey, I'm not making the 53, but if I can get on the practice squad and be with this team every day and show them what I can do every single day, then you never know when you get an opportunity to be called on to the big club, right? So I do think he's live for that. I just think there's too many numbers there, and he came in a little bit late. He made a couple of nice plays, that's right, but how much can you, you know, really rely on that versus what you have? So it's a great story. I love that. But I don't think he's live for a roster spot. I know obviously Cole Bishop is a starter, but I think he has to show, I'll say it the way you did with Curtis Samuel, show he can get through a game healthy. He did last week, but yeah, you don't have to have him play the whole game, but you have to at least see him play again. You know, he needs more reps. Sean has talked about that a little bit. Cole Bishop is the starting safety on this team. The only way he's not, I think, is if there was to be another injury, but I think he has to still have some reps, and he has to go out there and he has to get a little bit more playing time before all of this. I think on the offensive line, that's a big one I'm looking at right now, because I still look at it and say, okay, you have some injuries here. Now you have two tackles in concussion protocol. You have Tylon Grable and Travis Clayton. So they'll probably be on the team, but you know, they're not gonna be able to play tomorrow. That matters because it's opening the door. Ryan Vandermark had a tough day last week. There's no doubt about that. Do they like Chase Lunt enough? He has now shown some versatility. I don't think it's gone great for him, but at the same time, by the fact that he's playing a little bit more and everywhere, he's showing some versatility. We know how much they like that. Alec Anderson is clearly on the team, but is he your backup center? Because Cedric Van Pran Granger is probably not going to be available for several weeks. I think he stays on PUP. So the guy I'm looking at is Kendrick Green. I know it's a name that people don't talk about a lot, but Kendrick Green to me could make this roster. He might be the backup center. And then you free Alec Anderson up to be that swing interior guy for you.
Yep. Is there anyone – you mentioned Chenault earlier. I'm sorry to be jumping around on you. But I've noticed like he's getting run on coverage units. He's been returning kickoffs. He's gotten a look at punt returner as well. Is there a decision to be made between he and last year's return man, Brandon Condrington, you think?
There could be. I'll still maintain what I've said all along. I believe Brandon Codrington is the main punt returner on this team, and he's on the team. We all know the issue, though, is that he doesn't really provide anything for you on the defensive end. You know what Brandon Codrington is? He's a, oh my God, let's get through the end of this game. We need somebody. Put Brandon Codrington in guy on defense. That's what he is, right? He's not going to be a guy that you're going to really put in as an actual depth piece, you know, in situations that you need someone there. But I still think he's the number one punt returner on this team. I have seen nothing through training camp or preseason to show me otherwise, that he is not the number one punt returner. And it would be a heck of a deal if they suddenly decided someone else would be, because we know how much they value that spot. Heck, the reason he's on this team is because at the end of last year, they did not trust Daquan Hardy to be that guy. So they traded for Brandon Codrington. So let's get to Chenault. Chenault isn't going to be the punt returner on this team. And he did get one in a game, but he's still very, very raw there. And I just don't think the Bills would trust that. So, but they do really love his kick return ability. The question for Laviska Shenault is going to be, can he offer enough outside of that? And that's what you just said. He could maybe be a gunner. He could cover kicks. But also maybe as a wide receiver, can he offer a little bit for you in that regard? And I just don't know what the numbers at wide receiver. So
yeah,
I think he's probably on the outside looking in and a practice squad guy. But I do think there's a world we live in where Laviska Shenault makes this team. And I even think there's a very, very small world we live in where maybe both him and Brandon Codrington make this team.
Yeah, that seems nuts to me to have two guys that are, well, you said it. I mean, they would have to have a role for Shenault in the offense to some extent, right? Because you can't really, Codrington playing defense is like, that's a ultimate break glass in case of emergency situation.
Yes.
There. And so if I've got two guys that are here mainly for returns, that feels like maybe a bit much for my taste, but we'll see. All right. Did we hit everything? I don't want to leave anything out, Sal. I'm going to be gone a while.
I think backup quarterback is an interesting one.
Okay.
You know, and where that goes. And there's still a battle there. And I expect Shane Buechel to get plenty of time tomorrow. But what about Mike White? What about Mitch Trubisky? If they're on the field, when they're on the field, how much they play, maybe we can read into what they're thinking about that. They both had some time here. Buechel hasn't had as much time, but he's been here now for 3 years, essentially. So, you know, he'll get his shot, I think, a little bit tomorrow, probably more than a little bit. So I think backup quarterback is and I'm only saying Buechel for tomorrow. I don't think he's factoring in the actual decision and being the number two quarterback. It's going to be either Mr. Trubisky or Mike White, but I wonder where they're at with that. And I do think that, you know, if one of them plays tomorrow and the other one doesn't, does that mean that they need to see a little bit more from the guy?
All right, Sal, thanks a lot for this. Enjoy your time in Tampa, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot.
That's our dude Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. Again, live from Tampa, the Bills and Bucks play preseason game number 3, the third and final preseason game. Tomorrow night, 7:30 kickoff, pregame rolls at 2 here on WGR. Want to fill you in on some information regarding the bus accident from earlier today on the I-90. WBEN News Radio 930 AM is reporting within the last 5 minutes or so that the 90 West between Pembroke and Depew is now open. The eastbound lanes remain closed due to that bus crash. There were, at last word, 3 fatalities, many more injured. Mercy Flight's been running people, flying people to ECMC. But the 90 has reopened westbound between Pembroke and Depew. Eastbound, though, still closed from Depew to Pembroke. So keep that in mind as you're planning your Friday night travels here. Of course, traffic along other roads, you know, east and westbound roads, Genesee Street, Main Street, a lot of traffic on those roads because, you know, it's rush hour now and the thruway has been closed and still is closed in the eastbound direction. So please plan accordingly. 803-0550 is the number. You got any thoughts on anything Sal and I just talked about? Would love to hear from you. Lines are open. I am the Bulldog and you're listening to...
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hey-o, glad to have you with us here on a Friday. I am the Bulldog. Mike has the day off. He'll be off on Monday. Zach, who's doing the show on Monday?
It's me and Derek.
You and Derek are doing the show on Monday?
Yeah.
Any you going to redecorate in here? You got any big plans?
I think we can bring in like some spray paint, a little graffiti action going on.
That would freshen it up.
I think so, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I would like that.
Maybe a flower or something like that. We'll just like put it somewhere on the desk. You'll feel like a home.
You got to put it in a place where the Twitch and the YouTube
can
see it.
That's right.
Know? Otherwise, I mean, what's really the point?
That's right.
You got to do it. And you've got a special guest booked on Monday, right?
Kevin Clark.
All right, sweet.
Formerly of The Ringer, now with ESPN.
Good deal.
He was just at Bill's training camp practice. Funny enough, actually, the day James Cook's hold in began, he was there for that, and then he's going to be coming on, joining us at 3:30, and then we'll talk to Sal as well, kind of to get ready for roster countdown day.
Well, try not to break anything.
Oh, I'm breaking everything.
I hope it goes well. Mike's got the day off on Monday, then he'll be back for the balance of the week while I'm gone. What did I want to do here? Oh, well, I want to remind you, traffic has reopened on the 90 westbound. I think it's still just a single lane near the scene of the rollover bus accident that at Last Word had ended up with, well, I shouldn't say ended up. We know of three fatalities at this point. Don't know if there's going to be more, but really serious situation on the 90. Eastbound is still closed from Depew to Pembroke. So, but westbound, if you're coming this way from, you know, points east, you can travel the 90 west, but the 90 east is still closed and I think will be for the foreseeable future. But good news, at least the westbound lanes have reopened. You know, I want to mention how preposterous the game of golf is. Just a little sidebar here. It's been a lot of Bills, and if you want to call in 803-0550, the opportunity is there for you. I was homesick yesterday. Thankfully, whatever it was that was bothering me came and went fast enough that I'm here today. Playing a little hurt, but whatever. I knew Mike was off, and not that I didn't think Zach and Derek could have done the show that they're going to do on Monday, but anyway, I got in here. But yesterday, I was watching the golf, and weren't Rory and Scotty the final group? I think they were. So they're at the 18th green. And McIlroy is in a bunker that I think was at the front part of the green. And he mishit a ball from the bunker so badly that it flew over the green and hit the grandstand. And but I think is what you'd say, right? Like he's trying to get under it and he just hit it with the edge of the club, the leading edge of the club. And it like, I do that. It's no fun. It, you know, the ball flies way farther than you want it to. And from a bunker, at least that means if you even are fortunate enough to get out of the bunker, which McIlroy was, but he mishit this shot so bad. It hit the grandstand, bounced onto the green, I don't know, 15 feet maybe, and he makes the putt for birdie. And I'm just watching. I had to text one of a friend of mine I play a lot of golf with during the week. This is the stupidest thing. This is the dumbest game ever. It's the dumbest thing that I love doing is playing golf, because that shot, you or I hit that shot anywhere we're playing, and it's like 70 yards past the green, right? 50 yards, maybe, whatever. I mean, he hammered it. I mean, it hit. I saw it all happen. I mean, it blasted off this piece of the grandstand, like bang, lands on the green. He makes the putt. Just such a dopey game. And what's really dopey about it is that, if dopey's the right word, frustrating even is maybe better, is that, and this is the reason I bring it up is because like Jeremy tells me this. He and I haven't played as much as we like to, at least I haven't played with him as much as I'd like to this summer. Just our schedules haven't matched up for us to have our Saturday mornings at Delaware like we do the last couple of years. But when I play with him, he'll mention like how often tour players miss greens from 150 yards out, or like what the fairway hit rate is. And you know, you watch this anecdotally. I'm not keeping this data, but like the best guys in the world, like Rory will miss, just hook a drive left, like outrageously left, right? And you should remember that when you're playing golf tomorrow, or if you're playing golf tonight, when you hit a bad shot. Like, they do it way less frequently, and yes, they have it in them to hit the ball 350 yards or more off the tee, make all kinds of incredible shots, but they miss, and they play golf for a living. Like that's what they do. They work at it. They probably hit thousands of balls a day, and they still snap hook a drive left, scull a wedge out of a bunker off the grandstand. Don't be so hard on yourself, right? I'm giving myself this advice, but I'm also saying it to you out there. You can do whatever you want with it, but like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, the best people in the world at it miss shots every round, and they're the best. So, you know, I don't practice. I went to the driving range for the first time in 2 months last week, you know, and I wonder, like, geez, why? I went to see Jeff Mitis earlier in the summer, and I started scoring in the low to mid 70s at Delaware Park. Okay. Asterisk. For about a 2 or 3 week period. I don't know that I've shot below 80 in the last 3 weeks that I've been playing. I am just all over the place. I'm a wreck. Maybe I've only got so many good swings in me per year at my age. I don't know.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What it is, but the game is hard, and the best guys in the world miss all the time. They've got, you know, the advantage of a gallery to help them find their ball, right? Nobody loses a ball, and we always know where it is. And in the case of this shot I'm referencing from yesterday with Rory, he's got a grandstand to use as a backboard and help him make birdie, whereas you or I would have been like, you know, on the baseball diamonds at Delaware Park if we hit a shot like that out of a bunker. So, you know, go easy on yourself, all right, when you miss, because if they can miss and it's all they do, I mean, of course you're going to miss. We don't work at it, you know? So, I don't know, try to temper down the frustration level for yourself. Just keep that in mind. They miss a lot. For pros, they miss a lot. And so you shouldn't be that freaked out when you do. A lot is probably overstating it, but, you know, they miss. And so, you know, I just wanted to mention that. I just could not believe that happened. There. All right. 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to get in on things here. I'd love to have you. Mike is away today. I'm the Bulldog, and this is Doug.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.